Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm Catherine Colleen, and we are testing the fences of this adventure we call life and periodically figuring a few things out. In today's episode, we're talking about objectification. This is a big topic lately, and I listened for a long while, as I often do, and finally had something to say. So what I have to say is, let's not pretend that women don't objectify men. I'm not saying that harassment or worse is okay. It's definitely not okay. So let's get that out of the way. But let's not pretend that women don't objectify men too. Now, there's a lot of completely necessary and well-stated social movement against men these days. Why? Because outward objectification leads to rape being considered not a big deal, and it leads to fewer business opportunities for women and other problems. And before you judge me, let me point out that me too. I've had my fair share over the course of my life. Once assaulted, twice harassed, 2 to 3 times demeaned, and countless whistles and catcalls, which I count as demeaning also. Now, compared to my mother's generation, that's a huge improvement. Certainly, it needs to stop, and it does seem to be improving generation over generation, and that is wonderful. But at the same time, are we asking for the wrong thing? Are we asking for something that our biology cannot deliver while ignoring what we really want to ask for, which is equality for women, equal pay, equal opportunities, and for violation to be equally unacceptable? That is what we really want. But instead, we're asking men not to objectify, period. Something that they cannot do, and something that we cannot do either. So let me tell you the reality of biology. The male animal objectifies the female, and the female objectifies the male. Women, on the other hand, tend more often than not to add another layer of higher reasoning on top of that objectified first glance judgment. A layer of considering character, intelligence, demeanor, and many men also add that same layer of higher, I am not just an animal, reasoning on top of their initial objectified judgment. To those men, we thank you. The problem, if we're really to couch it precisely, is that some men don't add that higher layer of reasoning to their judgments, and worse, some are quite vocal about their unaltered objectified initial state and have not the self-control to keep their hands to themselves. It is also, therefore, an equal problem if a woman does not apply that higher layer of judgment and is vocal about her unaltered objectified state, or does not keep her hands to herself. Now, I need to slide my glasses down on my nose for this next part and look at you like a librarian. Admittedly, this problem is more common among men, but ladies, please, let's not pretend we don't objectify men. Don't tell me that when you see a promo photo for Magic Mike that you are suddenly overcome with how amazingly intelligent the actors are. Don't tell me that girlfriend to girlfriend chat at the cafe does not include commentary on the hotness of certain men who walk by, or about how shockingly easy it is to find a man willing to go home with you for the night. I, for one, am not ready to cast the first stone. My house is all glass. I objectify men. And then I add the layer of higher reasoning. And then, and here's the really important part, I keep my thoughts and my hands to myself. Now, although women keep their objectifying conversations more to the coffee shop and less to the locker room, it is all the same thing. So let's not act as though all women are the innocent victims of the objectification of all men. And let's not pretend that objectification, at least on initial judgment, is not the natural, unchangeable state of our biology. What you really want is to not hear it. So let's state it as it is. Gentlemen, can you keep your thoughts and hands to yourselves, please? And we ladies will continue to keep our thoughts and hands to ourselves. That's what we really want. And that, I think, is what we have to ask for. So often these days, it feels like we've lost the art of the protest. We've lost the art of the singular message. And this is related, I promise. I'll get to it. How many times have you seen a protest happening and you can't really figure out what the single coherent message is, or the only coherent message anybody seems to have is that we're really pissed off about something? That's not a message. Think back to the day, and granted, I was not alive to see this for myself, but I've seen videos, tiny little bits of videos, I've seen images, I've seen the speeches that came out of it. And it seems to me, and please do correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that decades ago, people understood how to protest, right? There were a fairly simple, small number of steps. Number one, you get a group together. You make some signs. Okay, great. And the protest, the point of the protest is to get the attention, to get the cameras, to get the microphones, to get the media, to get that attention so that you could get your one singular message across. And that's where it all seems to fall apart today. What is the one singular message? And so the one singular message here is keep your thoughts in your hands to yourself. And that has to go for everybody. So I don't apologize for the ranting nature of this particular episode, but I hope that we can all get something out of it. So if we can create a little bit nicer society by asking for the right thing, what we actually want, what is actually biologically possible, then maybe we can all get back to focusing on our self-discovery. Which, yes, I realize from the first episode that nobody gives a rat's ass about, but I sure do care about mine, and you care about yours. So thanks for joining us. For more essays and podcasts, go check out the website. Join me at the Patreon with questions and thoughts, and we'll see you next time.